Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention to just let it be.
Lord, I pray for the day we come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you. The better, stay in tune with the song that you choose. Oh, let praise that these words be us.
As always, I like to appreciate each and every one of you for taking the time out on your busy Sunday as we consciously come into communion with the ground of our being, God in us as us. I'd also like to welcome those that are joining us for the first time. And so we continue with our series of the 12 laws of the cosmos. I trust you are finding it as interesting as I am as I put it together. Excuse me one moment. We started off with the first law, the law of divine oneness. We are all connected. Second law, the law of vibration. Each particle in the universe is made of energy. The third law, the law of action. To achieve something, one must take action. The fourth law, the law of correspondence. Our outer world is always a reflection of our inner world. The fifth law, the law of attraction, that like attracts like. The sixth law, the law of cause and effect. You get back whatever you send into the universe. Last week was the seventh law, the law of compensation. You get as good as you give. And today, we are doing the eighth law, the law of perpetual transmutation, which simply breaks down into the universe is continuously changing. And I've said it before, and I'm saying it again, that each of these laws impacts and influences all of the other laws. We'll see today how the law of transmutation is so important because it connects with the law of vibration, the law of cause and effect, and so on and so forth. The law of perpetual transmutation of the energy, which is spirit, asserts that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. It is existing in some shape or form continuously. It just changes from one state to another. So simply put, it's saying that the energy of the universe is always transmuting into and out of form. But no time will this energy be standing still. And so because people fail to accept and realize that everything in the universe is energy, and therefore it's constant motion, and that change is continuously a part of the universal and the universe and the universal experience, we can stay stuck, we can stay stuck in thinking that a particular thing, an experience or whatever we're thinking or feeling or an emotion that we are in is something that is permanent. It is not. If energy is in perpetual motion, it simply is an indication that where you might be currently, you can transmute that into something else. So if you are stuck in the emotion of shame, you can transmute out of that and shake off the shame and bring yourself into the, let's say, the emotion of acceptance. Shake off the idea that you are a victim and transmute that into the realization that you are a child of the universe, connected to the all that is everywhere present in every point in space and time, and that is expressing in and through and as you. Energy will always flow to wherever your attention is. We know that. And yet, when we are caught up in our heads with whatever is happening or going on to us, in us, with us, we forget to use that power that we all have to transmute and to change wherever we are giving our attention, our focus, our energy to. We constantly looking for change outside of us, and it cannot happen outside of us. It can only happen inside of us. Back in 1842, someone called Julius Robert Mayer coined the scientific law of conservation of energy. He said that energy could never be created nor destroyed, and that this revelation in physics is the first law of thermodynamics. These are the concepts upon which spiritual communities have dug deep into the idea of energy. They discovered the scientific universal laws applied to these concepts. These principles order the entire universe. If this principle, so sorry this morning, there's a little tickle. If these principles apply to the entire universe, it means it applies to you too. It means that you, the individual, the small me, a small I, small you, can use these principles to transmute, to change the energy of which you are in to something else. You see, all of these laws, as I've said repeatedly, work together to support each other. And we know that we are one with the infinite intelligence that is everywhere present that we call God, that we call the divine beloved, Allah, Jesus, the Buddha nature, and the various labels we try to give him, her, it. We are one with that. And all that applies to God applies to us. We are a micro of the macro. So what energy are you transmuting in your life? What ideas, what thoughts, what feelings, what emotions do you need to be transmuting right here, right now? This isn't putting it off till next week, next month, next year, whenever. This is an immediate something you have to do in each moment. You see, when I say we drop out of consciousness, it's because we allow the thoughts to run randomly and wildly, like a pack of wild horses, in our head. When we are conscious, we can know where we're thinking, what we're thinking. We can know what vibration we're in. We can know where our energy is plugged into and seek to transmute it. We see the law of transmutation with water. It can be an ice cube. It can transmute into steam, into the clouds, into rain, into snow. But it never disappears. It can soak back down into the earth and then rise up again as mist. Water is a perfect example of how the transmutation of energy is perpetual. And so, my beloved, this is something that we can use. It's a process. But it's one that you, I, and each and every one of us can use to transform whatever is going on in our lives, whatever is, excuse me again, whatever emotion, whatever experience, whatever we are holding on to that does not support that which we wish, want, or to be in our lives, we can take action to transmute it. Always, 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 it's an inside job. Most people are familiar with the word transformation, and when you think of transformation, you think of kind of people who have the makeovers and you see the before and after pictures. Yes, they may do the work to change their physical appearance, but if they haven't done the inner work, the work of transmutation, nothing changes. We can think of transmutation as the work we do in the invisible, the inner parts of us, that then is reflected back out into the visible, the outer world. I love the quote that I shared yesterday from Lala Delia, who says, grapes must be crushed to make wine. Diamonds form under pressure. Olives are pressed to release oil. Seeds grow in the darkness. Whenever you feel crushed under pressure, pressed or in the darkness, you're in a powerful place of transformation and transmutation. Trust the process. I'll share one more from Alan Watts, wonderful Buddhist teacher, who said, without birth and death, and without the perpetual transmutation of all the forms of life, the world would be static, rhythmless, undancing, mummified. We are living, moving, having our being in that which is constantly changing. And I want to share some of the sacred texts that I found to support this. But I also want to say it caused me some consternation as I reflected. And I'll get into that now a little more. Let me first start off with the texts that support what I'm saying. So we know from the Kabbalion, which says all things are evolving from other things and resolving into other things. Genesis 1:2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Bhagavad Gita 2:16-17 says, the impermanent objects of the senses have no reality. Reality lies in the eternal. Those who have seen the boundary between these two have attained the end of all knowledge. Realize that which pervades the universe and is indestructible, no power can affect this unchanging and imperishable reality. From the Old Testament, Isaiah 46:8 says, all people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows over them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. So what caused me the consternation is when I think about the Malachi, I am the Lord thy God and I change it not. And as I pondered and reflected on this for this past week, what is it then that is unchanging about God? Because we know that God is energy, and this energy is perpetually changing from one form to another, or as Alan Watts, shifting out, evolving into one and resolving out of another. How is it then, if Bible is saying, I am the Lord thy God and I change it not, and yet we can see that God is this eternal change that is happening, that is evolving in and through the universe, evolving in and through us. And I reconcile to myself that whilst it is saying, I am the Lord thy God and I change it not, I think that speaking to the activity of God is always the same, and that it's always moving, it's always expanding, It's always evolving. That cannot be changed because that is the nature of the essence of the energy of spirit. We know that God is a paradox, that God is a mystery, that God is the unknowing. So we try to use our small intellect to understand that which is infinite. As I reflected and pondered this whole week over this, I settled in the realization I cannot use my finite intelligence, my finite brain, my finite understanding to accept and understand that which is beyond, that which is so infinite, so unknowable. But I can rest and accept the realization that God, the life force, the energy, the intelligence is continuously changing, but the essence and the truth and the word of what God is that we can comprehend at this time changes not. So when the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, the life of God, the truth of God abides forever, we can believe that. When we hear that the Bible says every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change, we can accept that. When we know that we can never truly know the unknowable, that we can believe that God, this energy, this force, this presence, this power that is immutable, that ultimately is changing and unchangeable, we can rest. So my story, let me kick off with my story, or my poem first, story first. Story from my favorite mystic, Howard Thurman, entitled The Seed of the Jack Pine. It's from his book, Meditations of the Heart, published 1953. In response to a letter of inquiry addressed to a Canadian forester concerning the jack pine, which abounds in British Columbia, the following statement was received. Essentially, you are correct when you say that jack pine cones require artificial heat to release the seed from the cone. The cone often remains closed for years, the seeds retaining their viability in the interior of the province. The cones which have dropped to the ground will open at least partly with the help of the sun's reflected heat. However, the establishment of the majority of our jack pine stands has undoubtedly been established following forest fires. Seldom do the cones release their seed while on the tree. The seed of the jack pine will not be given up by the cone unless the cone itself is subjected to sustained and concentrated heat. The forest fire sweeps all before it, and there remain but the charred reminders of a former growth and a former beauty. It is then in the midst of the ashes that the secret of the cone is exposed. The tender seed finds the stirring of life deep within itself, and what is deepest in the seed reaches out to what is deepest in life. The result, a tender shoot, gentle roots, until at last there stands straight against the sky the majestic glory of the jack pine. It is not too far afield to suggest that there are things deep within the human spirit that are firmly embedded, dormant, latent, and inactive. These things are always positive, even though they may be destructive rather than creative. But they remain until our lives are swept by the forest fire. It may be some mindless tragedy, some violent disclosure of human depravity, or some moment of agony in which the whole country or nation may be involved. The experience releases something that has been locked up within all through the years. If it be something that calls to the deepest things in life, we may, like the jackpine, grow tall and straight against the sky. I love that reflection because it's a perfect example of what transmutation looks like. That transmutation can happen even in the most severe and extreme circumstances, such as a fire, which you think would devastate and wipe out and destroy everything that is in its path. But instead, that energy, that powerful energy, releases the seeds within the pine cones, which the sun itself cannot do alone, or artificial heat cannot do alone. You see, there's nothing then that cannot be transmuted within us, within our lives, within our relationships, within our experiences, within whatever it is you want to put a label to. There's nothing so devastating in our lives that we can't use it and transmute it to something positive, something affirmative, something constructive. There is nothing that has happened to you or will happen to you that cannot be transmuted for your good. Everything works together for good for those that love the Lord, said Joseph, after being imprisoned and captured and sold into slavery by his brothers. Everything. When we can shift out of consciousness of poor me, woe is me, this is always my bad luck, you know, luck is never a word I use, transmute those limited base thoughts, feelings, ideas into remembering who you are and whose you are. You are a child of the infinite. You are one with all that is. And all that is God, and God is good. My beloveds, use this time, this opportunity, to transmute whatever is going on in your life. Apply it so that you can raise your vibration to be in the energy to attract that which you want for yourself. Are you seeing how each of these laws trickle in and connect with the previous laws? So my poem this morning is by Mark Hamilton. This coffee is like a miracle, oil slick black, thick as night, a transmutation of water, which has journeyed through deep earth to emerge by a secret ministry, worlds different from before. Water has lifted out the spirit of the grounds. They brood together now, darkly locked, held by a spell that cannot be reversed. I drink. Its force is a kick, a slap of the sea in a cave lapping its secrets of ocean. I wreathe it around with the burning of tobacco leaf, turns to flame, turns to smoke, rising like an offering, winnowing up. It stirs in me like crystals of sugar, revolving, dissolving, a cry for transmutation. My body and my mind are soothed, are roused, strangely both, but what can reach my spirit? The wind rattles at the window, there is a stirring abroad. God or spirit or presence, how can I pass my spirit through you? Fuse myself into something new. Like coffee, like smoke, I cry. Transmute my spirit too. My Science of Mind reading is entitled Stars, Atoms, and You. Our quote is by Ella Wheeler Cox, who says, be not afraid to thrust aside half-truths and grasp the whole. And our author is Ernest Holmes, who says, one of the Greek philosophers first said, Everything was made of atoms. Now, we say atoms are made of positive and negative charges of electricity, pure energy. No one has seen them, but out of that which we do not see emerges that which we do see. The biggest thing in the universe is just made up of the littlest things. You put a lot of the littlest things together, and the only difference is in the outline or form, and not in the substance or the law by which they are created. As far as God or the creative genius of the universe is concerned, there is no big and no little, no hard and no easy, no good and no bad. You and I right now are living in a universe where the only difference between a star and an atom is in the concept of the one who perceives them. This is the prime relationship. So far as creation is concerned, humankind alone knows a star and an atom. And wouldn't it be strange if we came to see that we alone know heaven and hell, abundance and impoverishment, health and sickness, good and bad? The Bible says, faith is the substance of things and will produce its own evidence. And so atoms, the infinitesimal, the little things we don't see, are there all right. But the meaning they have to us as individuals is the meaning we give to them. What is our own vision? What is our own thought? As always, Ernest just puts it so succinctly and so exactly. His final question, what is your own thought? If the universe doesn't see big or little, small or large or happy or sad, we know that in God, in spirit, in the universe, there are polarities. We have light and dark and happy and sad and good and evil, and there's no measurement. There is no differentiation in spirit. It simply is that which we give to it. And again, it's the labels we give to the emotions and experiences that we feel, which is why it can be transmuted. This law of perpetual transmutation, this energy that is in constant movement and transferring and changing the conditions around us, we can use this law to change the conditions in our lives, to align ourselves with what we want and what we're thinking and believing and speaking, and align ourselves with people and conditions that are conducive to that. You can always transmute what is going on, whether it's through positive thought or prayer or action. You yourself can change from sadness into happiness. You can change how you think or feel about an experience or a person. You don't have to remain in lower toxic energy. You can transmute that anger to forgiveness, or that upset into allowance, or shame into acceptance, or regret into... You can just keep looking at all of the emotions that we as a human experience and see how you can transmute it to a higher vibration of emotion or experience for yourself. If you're around toxic people or you interact with toxic people, don't allow it or them to so influence you and make you toxic. You can transmute it. You can transmute your energetic field. We know this, but we forget this. If we are to vibe in that which we want, that which we wish to attract, that which we wish to experience, then we must transmute the lower frequencies to higher ones. So that requires, my beloved, to be conscious of what you are thinking, what emotions you are holding, what feelings you are literally expressing. Because if they are not in alignment with that which is healthy and healthful and health-filling, if they are not congruent with that which you wish to be or do or have or express or experience, then they need to be transmuted. And only you, my love, can do that. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for this morning's reflection. And always I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm. Extend the stomach. And breathe in the energizing, renewing, restorative breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly, slowly. Inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly. For the 3rd and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently. The changeless abides with me. I am calm and peaceful in the midst of confusion. I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi 3:6. The Tao, considered as unchanging, has no name. The text of Taoism. We should realize that all the great scriptures have taught one identical message, the unity of good. All the sacred books have been inspired by the one mind. Each in its own tongue has told the story of reality. I am the Lord, I change not, was revealed to the Hebrew mystic. To the great Chinese sage came the same message. The Tao cannot change, it has no name. And to Hermes, God is in itself, by itself, full and perfect. Affirm to yourself. We now bring this glorified conception and the realization that this divine being is the breath of my breath, omnipresent, forever within me. Then I shall realize that we live in one eternal and perfect mind. There is no variableness in God, since God is eternal, immortal and infinite. Nevertheless, God is that from which every transformation and transmutation arises. This means that while I live in the eternal, which does not change, we are forever drawing from it the possibility of the manifold expressions that give variety to existence and that make living interesting. I know that the changeless abides with me. I am calm and peaceful in the midst of confusion. I know that nothing moves the soul. Peace. Infinite peace is at the center of my being. I live, move, and have my being in that which is perfect, complete within itself. That self is myself. Take a moment to allow those words to truly resonate within your being. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. As always, you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the Alpha and the Omega, that which is, was, and yet to come, the Lord God Almighty. Divine Beloved, Mother, Father, God, Thou who art beyond all the names we choose to call and label you, Allah, Yahweh, Jesus, Christ, Mind, Buddha, Consciousness, Krishna, Brahma, we cannot possibly understand with our finite knowledge that which is infinite and unknowable. So as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, surrendering our small and finite will and way to allow your infinite will and way to express in and through and as us. Touch our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that we can understand how to use this law of transmutation to transmute that within us that is not congruent or in alignment with that which you are in and through and as us. You gave us free will to choose, free will to be, free will to express, free will to think. Let us use that free will constructively, positively, to express and fulfill that which we are purposed for here on earth at this time. Let us transmute everything and anything that is of a low vibration, of a low frequency, that is of a limited emotion or feeling or belief, into that which is higher. Let us remember that at all times we are in you and you are in us. And that every thought and word and belief is co-creating with this infinite divine intelligence that is your life, that is your power, that is your spirit, that is right where we are. You, divine beloved, are both immanent and transcendent. There is nowhere where you are not. The psalmist said, if I dwell in the depths of the oceans, thou art there. Or even if I dwell in the highest peaks of the mountains, there thy hand shall lead me. Mother, Father, God, let us learn to truly embrace and embody the laws of the cosmos, so that we are living a life that we are meant to live, not one of struggle, one of stress, but one of peace and of prosperity. Mother, Father, God, as because we are in the circle of prayer. We know that there is nothing or no one that is outside of you. So we take this time to hold our world and all sentient beings within us in the circle of grace, to ask that the needs of each and every one, two-legged, four-legged, winged, finned, hoof, that each need be met, that each want or desire be fulfilled. Whilst we may look at all that is happening in our world, all that is occurring, and feel overwhelmed by it, we know that we can bring it to you and surrender. For you are the infinite and divine intelligence, the perpetual energy that exists in and through all things, in and through all people, in and through all of creation. We know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. So for our world and all its inhabitants, we surrender it to you right now. Father God, you know the individual needs of each and every one here this morning, each and every one that will listen later, and for the entire population. So as you know, our individual and collective needs, we can rest in you, rest in the assurance and the belief in the trust that is done unto us as we believe. So for your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever, ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as I... Actually, we do our movement prayer first. Let's do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky. Wiggle your fingers and affirm. I am enthusiastic about life and living. Cross your hands, palms down, over your heart and affirm. I am loving, loved, and lovable. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm. I speak only words that are life-giving and energizing. Drop your hands to your sides. Palms open, facing outwards and affirm. I give thanks for my abundant good. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists and affirm. I release all limiting and erroneous thoughts. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones for our affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Let's do our science of mind affirmation. Repeat after me. The way is made clear.
The way is made clear.
Before me.
Before me.
And it is filled with joy and harmony.
And it is filled with joy and harmony.
Our Buddhist reflection. If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
If anyone has hurt or harmed me,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them. And I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all, and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive all, and resentment is dissolved.
I forgive myself, and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free.
I accept myself and I am free.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented
and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May I be happy.
May I be happy.
May I be peaceful.
May I be peaceful.
May I be free.
May I be free.
May my friends be happy.
May my friends be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May those that challenge me be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful.
May they be peaceful.
May they be free.
May they be free.
Our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly.
Radiating brightly.
I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally.
Expressing unconditionally.
I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumination, our Rumi quote for this week, the highest secret of transmutation of soul. First he pampered me with 100 favors. Then he melted me with the fires of sorrow. After he sealed me with the seal of love, I became him. Then he threw myself out of me. Our closing benediction as we continue with the various interpretations of the Lord's Prayer. This one is translated by the Maori and Polynesian people. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, Loving God, in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trial too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For your reign in the glory of the power, that is love, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
So, my beloveds, as we come to the end of our Sunday soul, and we continue with the fabulous, fabulous, fearless soul, and I trust you're enjoying their songs as much as I am. This one is entitled, It's Within You. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I got a taste of it, but I still need a change.
That which fearless soul, and it's within you. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday, and it's International Women's Day on Wednesday, so let's honor and celebrate that. And I look forward to joining you next Sunday for another.